and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is the founder of the Orphan Hands Ministries and our dear friend, Philip Cameron. Our co-hosts today are Maricela Woodall, Mondo De La Vega, and I'm Tammy Sue Baker. And now, direct from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your hosts, Pastors Jim and Lori Baker.
Thank you, Tammy Sue. We're so glad to have our audience here and the audience at home. And we've got so much to do today. Philip Cameron is back with us in person.
Great to be here. Thank you. I feel like I'm coming home.
Yes,
and
you are.
We live in Knoxville, and it's a long drive from Knoxville, Tennessee, all the way to the Ozarks, and then the turnaround after this program
and you do it
all the way home again.
It's amazing.
But I got
a friend
called Jim Baker that I love very much, and Lori Baker and Marcella. And
Philip Cameron is the founder of Orphan's Hands.
Yes,
reaching the lost and changing the nations of Moldova and Ukraine, and he's on the Morningside Board of Directors, which is a big job, right? And
it's busy.
A lot's going on. I'll tell you, we're so thankful that we've been able to feed a lot of people. We've been able to give a lot of Bibles out. We ordered another batch.
And the Ukrainian Bibles you're talking about.
And the blankets and all the things we're sending there. But it's so unbelievable what's still happening there.
Yes.
And it sounds like Russia is planning to wipe Ukraine off the map.
What's happened is Putin has been totally unsuccessful in everything he's done. I mean, what this has done, if nothing else, to the West, has exposed the Russian army as being at least feckless. Their machinery is undependable. Their structure of command from the top to the bottom. They first discovered this during the Iraq War. The Iraqis were trained by the Russians. So when these guys were stuck in the desert, remember Desert Storm and what happened when the Americans, who are freewheeling, every guy's in charge when the chips are down, you know, a private becomes a colonel and a, you know. And what happened was that the Iraqi forces were so afraid to make a decision without up the chain that they froze literally under the sand in the dugouts. And the Americans were literally with bulldozers scooping them out of the sand, and they were paralyzed. And this has happened again. Their technical warfare is not great, to say the least. And the Americans are taking advantage of this. I talked to a special forces guy the other day, and I said, how come the Ukrainians are doing such an amazing job at blowing up entire convoys of tanks? And he says, well, they may be getting some help. And I says, really? He says, oh, yeah, really. So I don't know how much, I mean, that's only him and I talking, but what I'm saying is that you are seeing a President Putin that is embarrassed, and this is the biggest egomaniac in decades. So this little country that he was meant to take over in 3 days, cut off the head, put his new guy in, and nothing's going to change. They fought, and they have fought, and I think they've been assisted in their fight. So you now have a much more dangerous man. It's good news in the American heart. Yay, you know, let's fight this guy. But the end result is that the more he is pressed, and the more he's going to lose, and the more men he loses, and the body bags are going back to Russia, and now real armaments, the big stuff, is now going in to fight him. He will not be successful against the Ukrainians. You then have the horrendous scenario that he will start using chemical weapons and biological weapons. And also, America's nuclear capability is doomsday. If you're going to launch a missile against us, the world's going to go away. It's called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction. Russian theory of war is that they have battlefield nuclear weapons. So they can let a weapon off in a theater of battle and obliterate a town that will never be used again or lived in again. But that threat keeps everyone, as you are watching, oh, we can't get Putin mad.
We're hearing in America that they have a big celebration day here coming up in a few days.
So
by the time people even seen this show,
if you're a praying person, May 9th, it happened on May 8th in Western Europe, but on May 9th, it happened time-wise in Moscow. And what they have in Moscow is Victory Day. That's when you've seen them in the past, when all the Brezhnev and all these guys are up on the wall, and the army, the tanks are going past, and the bombs and the soldiers are matching. That's their Victory Day. And I think my opinion and what I'm reading is that he was hoping to have this whole thing neatly wrapped up with a bow on it by the 9th of May. And he's not going to have anything where he's at. However, there is a defenseless country that has a ribbon of its border with a place called Transnistria. You'll be hearing this in the news, Transnistria. Transnistria is a Russian enclave like the Crimea is and like the Donbass is. So the other day, I don't know if you noticed, there was a bomb that went off in Transnistria, and Putin says that's the Ukrainians now threatening the Russian people in Transnistria. How he's going to take Transnistria is by taking Moldova. And that is what is giving me heartache and sleepless nights. So we have about 100 souls in our care at Vatra Village. And I'm including the kids. We've already moved them once from Ukraine. We have families that have run that we are caring for at Vatra Village from the Ukraine. And we are now talking about and actively seeking a place in Romania that we can move all of these kids out to. So, I mean, that's a hotel, or we're just trying to find a way to do it. In the meantime, and this is what...
So you're thinking you may have to move from Vatra if the tanks come.
Absolutely.
What will the Russians do with Vatra Village?
Loot it, just like they did. Everything you see that they did in Iraq and these other countries...
They will rape
every girl they find and kill her so she can testify against them in the war crimes courts. That's why they're killing the woman that they're raping, because they can't testify against them. So that houses in Vatra Village. What we've done is, God spoke to me when I began this 30-odd years ago, that we're not just there suddenly, I'm watching all these ministries that are brokenhearted for Ukraine and Moldova and these... We've been doing this. I've been brokenhearted for a third of my life, or actually half my life since I adopted Andrew. So those houses, what the Lord spoke to me was, how you treat an orphan is how God will treat you. A lot of ministries will give an orphan a bowl of rice and feed them once a day and boast about what they're doing, but they're not helping. They're not helping with the education and the social life of these kids that have been abused all their lives. So we determined to make Vatra Village a beautiful place. Every one of you that would walk into the houses at Vatra Village would say, oh my goodness, look at this house. That houses were originally, see the lake in the background? That houses were built for rich people to have summer homes in. And they poisoned the lake with chlorine to kill algae, and it killed the project of that building, that houses. So it sat for 9 years derelict, and we went in and bought it and have been spending all the time fixing up all these houses to be absolutely beautiful. Every stick of furniture in those houses are from America. We buy it here, and we ship it over there because our furniture is way, way, way better. And I wanted when an orphan girl or an orphan boy, we have a one boy's home out of the homes that we have, when they walk into that place, and we have big Rubbermaid tubs, and we have welcoming parties, and we tell an orphan that's never had a kind word in her life, never had a smile or a gentle thought towards her, and they walk into Vatra and we say, if you are born, God has a plan.
Yes.
You are not a mistake.
Right.
Whatever you want to do, God can help you do.
That's it.
So those are Ukrainian girls sitting in Betzer House, and there's other families in that house with them right now. Every girl you see in that video is worth $300,000 a year to a trafficker. Wow. Every girl you see will make a trafficker $300,000. So that girl there is $300,000. Every three girls you see is the guts of $1 million to a trafficker. So they come to us, we put them back in school, and what's happened is, as one of the first things we do is we help them to get healed by loving other people that are worse off than they were.
Right.
So they feed widows and feed broken families. So they cook in the houses every day. They're cooking meals for other people. Mm-hmm. So when this thing happened at the border and the Ukrainians started running away from Russia, our kids were doing it already. It was not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And they were cooking. And instead of taking it to the village, they went out to the border. Now, I've got a video to show you today of them. Easter time in Moldova is 1 week later than America. So Easter was Sunday, this last Sunday. And in the middle of all this, and I was trying to explain to Brother Jim, excuse me for talking so much, but I've got so much to tell you.
Yeah.
To put it into perspective for you, how they are living right now in Moldova.
Yes.
If we're in Blue Eye here right now, mm-hmm. and Branson is, what, 10 miles up the road? You imagine if Russia and the most bombs and missiles and tanks and weapons were in Branson. And Russia and Putin was in Branson. And they were coming this direction. How would you be able to function every day? How would it affect everything we do? A tank could drive through the front gates, through that front door, blow us to smithereens. Well, at the moment, in Transnistria, all this weaponry that Russia has is 10, 12 miles away from the kids at Vatra village. So we are living and giving and going with a gun at our heads. So fixing up Resurrection Refugee Center is agonizing because folk are interested in selling stuff because, well, and the 9th of May is rumored to be the day that the Russians are going to take Moldova. So how would you all be thinking today if the Russians were coming here on the 9th? And that's what we're living under. I've been up this morning since 4 o'clock because on top of caring for these kids, these kids are caring for other people. And
where are some of the kids right now? They're delivering food.
Yes, not just once in a while. They are at full delivery mode all the time. We have a convoy that goes every week, six vans, cargo vans, that go from Chisinau. We load them up and they drive all the way down to Kyiv and Irpin, where you've been watching all this bombing go. So pastors take the vans and we supply the food. This one is going just now. It leaves at 3 o'clock in the morning in Moldovan time, which is 8:30 tonight here in America. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, Nadia and Dasha are going with this convoy down to Kyiv, which is a great risk. And I said, you can't do this because... And they says, no, we are going. And the pastors tried to dissuade them, and Dasha said, my dad's paying for this food, and I'm going with you, and that's the end of it all. Mm-hmm. So she can't... I said, okay. So please be praying. So what they do is they take the food to Kyiv, and these pastors that have churches there, hundreds of people line up, and the pastors preach the gospel to the people that have no food and no water. And as they're waiting, that right there is a pastor preaching to those people waiting in line to be fed the gospel. And now, because of you guys, we have given away thousands of blankets and thousands of Bibles, and it's just... We're still in...
I just saw them passing out Bibles.
Yeah. Right.
But here's the deal. America has an attention span of 7 seconds.
Right.
I can't believe it. We all as a nation are all, this is the most important thing, and there are people dying by the thousand right now over a tyrant that's trying to take over Europe, and we are all caught up with the new shiny thing that's in front of us.
Right.
And God forgive us.
There's people trying to tell us we're not to care. We shouldn't be caring about Ukraine. And you can't sit back and look at people die if you're a Christian. No. You know what I've come to the conclusion, people? The conclusion of it all is it's if without God, we're in a hell of a mess.
We are
without
a hell
God,
of a mess.
God makes the difference between life and death.
Yeah, yeah.
God makes the difference. I mean, what we do. You know, just a few hours ago, the news of the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Mondo, read what the
Chief Justice
had to say about it just a little bit ago.
Absolutely. He provided a statement a few hours ago. He said, and I quote, "To the extent this betrayal of confidence of the court was intended to undermine the integrity of our operations, it will not succeed. The work of the courts will not be affected in any way," end of quote.
Thank God.
They said it's the first time ever this kind of thing has ever happened.
Never in the history of America has a leak come from a judgment of the court.
And right. the leaker is being heralded as a hero.
In some places.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that there's legal implications for what they've done. But it is the madness that has taken over America.
Yeah.
That the police had to rush out and put up barricades around the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because they anticipated violent demonstrations over killing babies.
That's right.
What on earth is America coming to? We've already killed 62 million babies.
Yes.
You think of the geniuses, the Einsteins and the poets and the songsters and the mathematicians and scientists and preachers.
Right.
Men and women of God that have been slaughtered and sucked to pieces and reassembled on a table outside of the mother, and then we'll get $5,000 for the brain and we'll get couple of thousand dollars for the kidney, and they're selling our babies for parts, and they'll be there today screaming like banshees against the fact that the Supreme Court has ruled what should have been ruled a long time ago.
Right.
This belongs in the states, not the Supreme Court. This is an individual state issue.
Right.
And you watch and see the havoc.
Yes.
That is about to happen today and the next few weeks in America.
That's right.
It's diabolical.
It is diabolical.
One of your favorites, Mark Levin, this morning,
the great one.
The great one.
Said, this ordeal is threatening the institutions of America.
Absolutely.
Do we have that roll in from him? I watch him a lot.
He's brilliant. Mm-hmm.
He's brilliant.
You know what he thinks and what he says. Here's Mark Levin.
When you conduct yourself in an utterly lawless way, attacking the institutions of this country, attacking the founding documents of this country, attacking the history of this country, this is what you get. Lawlessness. It's just a matter of time. All these institutions are going to collapse. This is a grave assault on the Supreme Court. When I was in law school, I was actually an intern to Chief Justice Warren Burger. I saw how it operated. And I can tell you, this institution takes its confidentiality seriously. Why? That's the coin of the realm. They've got to be able to talk about ideas freely. They got to be able to discuss this without political pressure. Why do people think these are lifetime appointments? And of course, the Democrat Party is destroying this country. Look at the confirmation process. It started with Bork. The Democrats targeted him under Kennedy and Biden. And it moves on to others, including Clarence Thomas, including Kavanaugh. Republicans don't treat Democrat nominees this way. They may object to them. When you say the Supreme Court doesn't look like America, you're undermining the credibility of the court.
Wow.
Help us, Jesus.
Let me run the news report on this story.
Overnight, tensions running high outside the Supreme Court. Barricades erected and protesters gathering, all in response to a new report saying the conservative-leaning court is ready to overturn Roe versus Wade, the landmark ruling that legalized abortion.
It would dramatically upend abortion rights in the United States, really over the last 50 years since Roe versus Wade.
The website Politico reports it obtained documents from a person familiar with the court's proceedings. The documents are labeled a first draft of an opinion in a case challenging Mississippi's ban on abortion after 15 weeks. A ruling in that case is not expected until the summer. But in the draft, Justice Samuel Alito, the opinion's apparent author, writes, Roe was egregiously wrong from the start.
It was circulated in the court as a first draft by Justice Alito in February, dated February 10th. So it is possible there have been some changes since then, but it's our best understanding of at least where the court stood at that time.
The draft opinion also references the 1992 case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which affirmed Roe's finding of a constitutional right to abortion services. Justice Alito writes, "We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives."
This is a stunning breach of Supreme Court confidentiality, of secrecy of the traditions of the court, and one clearly designed to get a public reaction. It's a crisis for the court because the court's authority comes from the notion that those justices deliberate and come to a conclusion, and they don't play politics. They don't play public opinion.
Overnight, Planned Parenthood tweeting, "Let's be clear, this is a draft opinion. It's outrageous, it's unprecedented, but it is not final. Abortion is your right, and it is still legal." And Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi issuing a joint statement referencing justices like Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch, who have said Roe is settled law, writing the conservative justices have lied to the U.S. Senate, ripped up the Constitution, and defiled both precedent and the Supreme Court's reputation, all at the expense of tens of millions of women who could soon be stripped of their bodily autonomy and the constitutional rights they've relied on for half a century. But the anti-abortion rights group Susan B. Anthony list, writing, "If the draft opinion made public tonight is the final opinion of the court, we wholeheartedly applaud the decision."
If Roe versus Wade is overturned, it doesn't mean that abortion will be illegal in the United States, but it does mean that states individually could decide their own abortion policies. And we've seen dozens of states already preparing for this moment, passing restrictive abortion measures, bans, in anticipation that the court will go this far and give them the green light.
Unbelievable.
You know, they have said that Roe versus Wade hasn't been constitutional. It hasn't been right.
Right.
Now, you met the lady who...
Norma McCorvey.
Who is the case.
Yes. We remember Mondo was was with us.
Where did we meet?
We met NRB.
NRB, National Religious Broadcast.
I still
remember
it like if it was yesterday.
Me
you
too,
guys
Mondo.
Were interviewing Paula White.
Yes.
Happened to go get something out of the car, and I overheard a conversation on my side,
mm-hmm.
and the lady wanted to present to you a statue.
Yes.
And he said, "I got to get to Mrs. Baker." And I asked, "Well, who are you?" You know?
Right.
And she was just flat out crying. And I said, "Oh, I have to get you over there. You have to go talk to them."
Yeah.
You know, and that was the moment that was captured by two pictures.
Yes.
That I think we'll try to put on the screen so
right.
you can see. But that was a defining moment.
It was a defining
for
moment.
For you, for
me.
Her.
Mm-hmm, for her.
It was an incredible time that.
Now, she never even had an abortion. Is that right, Lauren?
That's correct. She never had an abortion.
You talked to her.
Yes, but she did feel the bloodshed of now 62 million babies that have been aborted
she
in
said
the United
she
States.
Carried the guilt of that because they used her.
Yes.
And she wasn't in favor
no.
of Roe versus Wade.
No.
And she's the one who
right.
was in the lawsuit.
That's
she was
right.
the one they were representing.
Right. This is very, I could go do a whole show about this, but I'm just saying, I'm really struggling with this. I haven't been able to sleep all night. When this news broke, you know, just hours ago, I mean, this
When you
country,
were a young girl, you had your abortions when you were young.
The thing is, I remember 1973, and I remember...
And you felt that the government had approved of abortion, and
right.
it was kind of like as young person...
I was a very
person.
Lost girl. I was very lost, and I was very confused. And I went through... I just feel like my generation, myself, my generation, we just got slammed by the devil so bad, and it's something you never forget, that something... No matter how healed you are, no matter what, and we know our babies are in heaven, but the thing is, it's just something that you think about every single day of your life, at
Absolutely.
Least for a second, if not for hours sometimes. It's horrific. And to think that we got sucked up in all this, and now what they're doing, and it's not supposed to be political, but yet somebody's made this political.
Absolutely.
And
well,
it's
everything
evil.
Now,
and now,
is,
we're
and here,
see our
and the
country.
Christians have got to come to it.
You better
is that
believe it.
It's Bible versus hell.
Yes.
Hell.
Yes, thank
you. And it is, it's just, you've got two sides to everything.
Right.
And we're, the Bible's being eradicated, if possible.
Yes, that's right.
And when you see people marching in the streets to kill their babies, I mean, these are, the ones that are marching right now are kids. I mean, they're young kids.
They all got to live. And they got to live.
So,
but the devil is the father of lies.
That's right.
So what happens is, I mean, it's, if your eyes are open, you can see it everywhere. There's no problem at the border. There's nothing wrong. We have everything under control. The border's under control. When I was a boy back in Scotland, I used to listen in Scotland to the Russian radio. And so all day I'd get the British news and the American news, and then at nighttime I'd turn it onto the Russian radio, and they were telling the exact same story, and you would think it was a completely different thing.
Right.
You were thinking, because that's what the devil does. Yes, to you today, he'll tell you lies upon lies.
That's
you're not
right.
worthy. You're a failure.
That's
you're a mistake.
Right.
Because that's what he does.
That's what he does.
And sadly, the church believes him.
That's right.
We sometimes believe the devil more than we believe God.
It's true, Philip.
And it's time, and especially in this situation, there are two things right now that I believe will define America. One, this happened last night on this Roe versus Wade issue that was never legal from the beginning.
No.
But they told us for years and years, it's the law.
Right.
We are, it's the law. You can't, no, you can't shut up and sit down.
Right.
It's the law. We'll kill all the babies. Shut up.
Yep.
We'll kill the babies.
Right.
And suddenly, after all of this time, you feel almost cheated by these people.
That's right.
And then they'll just say, oh, well, okay, let's move on to the next thing. And the second thing is, we are fighting for the liberty of free people. This is, the battle may be taking place in Ukraine, but this is taking place in Mississippi, and it's taking place in Alabama, and it's taking place in Branson, Missouri. Because if you don't stand up for liberty, you are going to allow hell to break loose around the world. And I'm watching America. And we are sitting, the church is sitting silently by. So watch it today, tomorrow, this week. Mm-hmm. We want to stack the court.
Yep.
We're going to stop this from ever happening again. And unless the church, unless there are as many people outside the Supreme Court with placards saying, we choose life and we choose the Supreme Court over what the political thing is, unless what's going to happen is they'll take this away. Remember when, what was the woman's name that took the prayers out of school? I remember sitting in pastors' houses, Jim, and the pastors going, oh, that'll never happen in America. Oh, no. We'll always have prayer. One woman.
Yeah.
One woman said, I don't want my child to have prayer.
That's
and
it.
Your kids can't breathe about God or Jesus or wear a T-shirt because we sat down and did nothing. And if we have a little more folding of the hands, the Bible talks about, the more slumber and sleep. And they have lulled us into this thing that whatever they know, they can do whatever they want. And you won't do anything about it. And as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yes.
And this thing in Ukraine,
amen.
I will die doing what I'm doing because this is somewhere,
this is a
thing that I've got to stand for.
Yes.
That if you love Jesus, you'll be thinking the same thing as well.
That's right.
This is a good news, I think, but it's a once-in-100-year movement is taking place. Christian schools are flooded with applications.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank God.
As a plague, controversy.
Controversies. Plague, public education.
Yeah.
If you let your grandkids go to a school and this creep comes up and says, how do you feel about how you feel?
Oh.
And they lead them in a conversation into their sexuality. And then they talk to them and give, and they can destroy their lives as little babies.
Completely. Yes.
I know what I'm going to say to my grandkids.
That's right.
I'm going to put my kids to where the gospel's preached.
That's
and
right.
I can trust the teacher not to do whatever these sickos are doing.
That's it.
And if you say it, oh my goodness, look, that's disgraceful. I'm going to tell you something. We need to stand up for the gospel.
Yes,
I am
we do.
Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
No.
And Jim Baker, I will give you your due. You have stood like a watchman on the wall.
Yes.
While every pastor, or most pastors, or many pastors, have been wishy-washy, up and down, in and out. Well, they talk to me. Mm-hmm. We just don't. There's so many folk in our church that would be offended if I took a stand. And I'm saying, they don't give. Believe me, they just criticize you. Get up and start blowing the trumpet in Zion.
Yes.
And if the trumpets sound a sure sound, we're going to go to war.
That's
otherwise,
right.
It'll just drift away.
Yeah.
And I just thank God for you, Jim Baker, for having the courage to do what you've done for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Absolutely.
He's had that courage.
Well, before we leave today, I want to go back to Ukraine.
Yeah.
But let's roll that news report I have about the war zone in Ukraine. Let's watch this, and then we'll talk about it.
In a surprise visit by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the speaker met with Ukraine's president in Kyiv. Also, Representative Gregory Meeks, who represents Queens, was part of the visiting delegation.
Do not be bullied by bullies. If they're making threats, you cannot back down.
Forces struck in the heart of Kyiv on Thursday as UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres wrapped up a meeting with President Zelensky, an attack the mayor of Kyiv described as Vladimir Putin's way of giving his middle finger to the United Nations leader. Meanwhile, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov claimed Russia is not threatening anyone with nuclear war, but rather it's Western nations that are talking about such things. Moments later, Lavrov threatened Moldova, saying that they should be worried about their future.
Despite many analysts believing Putin would fail to take Odessa if he tried, there are signs the city is still in his sights. His attacks on the Dniester Bridge are thought to be an attempt to separate Odessa from a swathe of Ukraine that could be a stepping stone for Russian forces to reach Moldova and the breakaway Russian-leaning region of Transnistria.
Moldova has been in a very difficult region at a very difficult time. We're Ukraine's most fragile neighbor. Of course, we've been affected in multiple ways, and now, of course, we see that the situation is getting worse. The future of the entire continent rests on the capacity of Ukraine to maintain its political system, its country, its resilience, and in this sense, the fate and the future of every country in this part of the world.
The whole civilized world should unite urgently, because today we're at the doorstep of a huge war. You must understand that Putin dreams of capturing more than Ukraine. We hear this and we understand this.
Just on the other side of this water is Transnistria, and following those explosions, the authorities have placed the region under the highest security alert level.
These are a series of types of provocations which basically have the main objective to incite, to spread panic, to destabilize.
This is the aftermath of recent Russian attacks on Odessa. Its strategic position and symbolic value makes the port city one of Putin's targets. Although experts believe Russia will struggle to capture Odessa, the people of the city believe that won't stop Putin from trying.
Wow. Philip, you shared a news story with our team about President Putin's intentions. According to Russian sources and Western officials, can you give us an overview of that? And Mondo, I think you have a headline on that.
You talk about May 9th, Vladimir Putin is set to declare all-out war on Ukraine within days.
That terminology is important. Up to now, it has been a military action, okay? So you can send some soldiers in. That's a military action. The definition of war means that he can call up conscripts. He can now draft people. He can release more funds. And he is now talking about an all-out, full-blown, full-scale war against Ukraine. And what you've seen, listen to me, what you've seen up to now is child's play to what you're about to see. And someone asked me the other day about the blankets that we've been giving, and we are still giving away right now.
Yeah.
Tonight in Kyiv, it's in the low 40s.
Mm.
So we think because summer's coming here, there's no need for blankets.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It is raining. It is freezing cold at night. And that blanket that you guys are providing is the only thing. Now listen to this. I was praying with this the other day, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, these blankets are costing so much, and there's the energy of putting giving them out is a tremendous amount of energy. And the Lord showed me, he says, what that blanket represents. Remember when Ruth went to the feet of
Boaz?
Boaz, thank you. When she says, extend the border of your mantle, cover me with your blanket.
Yes.
That blanket, to many mothers who have lost their homes, lost their husbands, lost any man in their life because they've all got to stay and fight, that blanket, wrapping that blanket around their family at night is the only symbol that we are still a unit. We still belong to each other.
Right.
We are still us. We are still us.
Yeah.
So it's not just the warmth of the blanket in itself that's important.
Yeah.
It's the fact that at nighttime, in cold buildings that they're living in because they've run for their lives, living in nice houses before, driving nice cars, going to good jobs. Ukraine, we would go to Ukraine because one of our homes was there.
Right.
Fabulous restaurants. Odessa's on. It's called the Pearl of the Black Sea. Beautiful place, historical buildings everywhere. And in a moment, they run for their lives, grab their kids. They're stuck on mats in great big buildings with everybody in one room stuck like this building. You could step between the mats all through this building, hundreds and hundreds of people lying on the floor. And they feed them, just throw them whatever they can feed them. And at nighttime, a mom with crying children, our girls from Ukraine that are in Moldova, we were told that they laugh during the day and they sob at nighttime because they want to go home to Ukraine. Even though it's being bombed to smithereens, they still want to go home.
Yeah.
And that blanket that you are providing is the only thing a mom can wrap around her babies and say, hey, we still have each other.
That's right.
They're still us. Mm-hmm. And it's in the 40s at night. You go out tonight and sit outside in the 40s for a wee while.
Yeah.
In the rain and the snow, and see how you'll survive.
Yeah.
And so I just want to thank you on behalf of our teams in Moldova. I need you to pray for us.
Yes.
Tomorrow morning, it's 8:30 at night, but tomorrow morning it's 3:30 in Moldova. We have a convoy of we're doing this every week, but this is the first time that some of our girls and women have gone on this convoy. And they I tried to stop them, and they says, Dad, we can talk about something we haven't seen. And Nadia and Dasha are going down there tomorrow, and they were laughing. I guess it's gallows humor. Nadia went and got two sleeping bags, and she says, she threw one at Nadia and Dasha, and she says, here you are. She says, I don't know what we'll be sleeping, but that's, at least we'll have a sleeping bag to sleep in. That's more brave than I am, I'll tell you what.
These girls are mighty, mighty women of God. That orphan's hands rescued from the orphanages. Yeah. Otherwise, they would have been put out on the streets when they were 16 years old with the equivalent of $30.
Yeah.
And your ministry came and rescued
them.
We've been there. We lived there at the houses with you guys for almost a month.
Absolutely.
We went to the orphanages. This is the real deal, people. I mean,
33 years we've been doing this.
Yes.
Well, how would you feel tonight? How would you feel tonight if in the morning, Marcella and Tammy Sue were to go into a van and drive right into the teeth of war to give out.
I don't know. I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know if I could handle that. First of all, I'd say I'd be right there with you. Yeah. And let me guard you. But
there's a song I sing, and it says, into the highways and byways, I'll be what you want me to be.
And
millions have been displaced.
Oh,
yeah.
Thousands have been killed.
10 million is the number they're talking about.
Every home almost in this country is destroyed.
Yeah.
All the apartments are just hollowed out.
The first house we had in Ukraine was next to an apartment building in Odessa. And the Russians flattened the building right next door to our house. And thankfully, we'd moved to a different home and we built this new home. But the old house we were at, if we had still been there, the missiles literally went past the house and felt the concussion all around that area and the apartments. They're killing indiscriminately.
There's the blankets right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I want everybody that can I don't know how much longer we're even going to get stuff in and out because it's getting more and more tough.
The Bibles are becoming, I'll be honest with you, the Bibles are becoming almost just impossible to find.
Mm.
They're struggling. You imagine, getting back to it, Russia's in Branson. And we're all here just now trying to live normal lives, and you don't know when a tank comes through that wall there or that wall there. You don't know. And the uncertainty that this is breeding, you're just living on this nervous buzz inside your gut all the time, wondering if is today the day? Are they coming today? What's going to happen today? And so our kids, as kids, I think they've got a defense that older folk don't have.
Yeah.
They have this gallows humor, you know, here's a sleeping bag. I don't know where we're sleeping, but here's your sleeping bag. And they're incredibly brave.
Yes, they are.
They're going out and feeding people nonstop. And you guys, listen to me, please understand, I don't have the means, I don't have the Sundays, I don't have the means to go and get folk to help us. I can sit here next to Jim and Lori and my family here, and you can go to a phone and pick up a phone and literally rescue the perishing.
That's it.
And care for the dying.
Yes.
Your gift right now can be the difference between life and death.
Yes.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the difference to thousands of people hearing the gospel.
Mm.
Because their hunger drives into our feeding points.
Yeah.
And the churches that we use. And the pastors, these incredibly brave men, stand up. And as they're waiting in line to get the food, these guys are preaching the gospel. The only hope for Ukraine is Jesus. And you may never get to Ukraine. But by picking up a phone and dialing 888-988-1588 and saying, I want to give a blanket and a Bible. I'll give $25. I know there's folk watching give $2,500. I believe there's someone watching that didn't give $25,000. You will never be closer to God's heart than when you share His word with the broken. When you wrap a mom in a blanket and babies in a blanket that have lost every touch point of their life, every foundation that they've known, everything that's familiar is all gone and will never be there again. If we give them the money to rebuild their houses, it won't be the same houses and it won't be the same streets and it won't be the same neighborhood because there are people that are just dead.
Yeah.
We're talking just now in the future, once this passes, Resurrection Refugee Center, whether we're helping Moldovans or whether we're helping Ukrainians, that building will be right there, right in the middle of the storm, saying, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
And you have the ability in your hand to reach out of our spoiled world.
Yeah.
And as you're watching this just now, there are moms hauling their babies together under one of the blankets you've made, saying, well, we might be okay.
Yeah.
Father, in Jesus' name, I hope, Lord, I hope I've been able to communicate to my friends watching just now the imminent risk and danger that so many are under. As they watch the Russian bear chew up their country, about to declare war, not just a military action, which will accelerate the destruction to magnify tens of times. When they will not be satisfied until an entire nation is erased from the face of the earth. What are we going to do to help? Will we sit by and say, well, we live in America and that's in Europe? Or will we say, help us, God, to rescue the perishing and care for the dying? Speak to every heart right now.
Yes.
Go to your phone. The number again on your screen is 1-888-988-1588. You can do something today that can change people's lives.
Yeah.
Can I say, I know I'm being very bossy. Can
no,
I
this
say,
is so good.
Okay?
To love.
Yes.
I hate to be so bossy, but.
No, we love this.
Guys, this is so deadly and so. I'm about to watch the kids I love.
Yeah.
And the house parents that I love get in vans in a few hours' time.
Mm-hmm.
while I'm driving back to Tennessee tonight,
right,
they'll be in that van on the way to hell,
Jeez.
Carrying hope because you gave. We do this every week. Right now, this the one that's going just now, has cost has been $15,000 and $20,000 just for groceries, not for fuel and the other stuff. Just we've spent that amount of money in the warehouse grocery for food. The blankets are different,
right?
And these vans are stuffed to the rafters.
Yeah,
because you give. And I pray for you just now. I just feel that God's speaking to your heart. I believe there's someone watching just now, and money's not your issue. You got a family that's going to hell, and you think, my God, I wish I could do something for my family. Well, why don't you do something for someone else's family? Job was healed when he prayed for others, when he helped others. And there's a healing process that God begins to impart into your circumstance, into your family. Yeah. When you see someone else's family in despair, you are literally being the bulwark between them and decimation.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something, the cross will be the bulwark between you and decimation.
Amen.
That the blood of Jesus will stand between you and all the powers of hell that are trying to destroy your family right now.
Right, that's it.
That God's looking for faith for you to rise up and say, I'm going to do something. Call right now, 888-988-1588. I may never be on this program again because I've taken the whole blessed thing over. And I thank
so
God
good,
for my Jim, my friend Jim and Lori that love me and let me ramble on. But I want to sing a song for you that is the theme of my life. And as I'm singing, please go to your phone and make a miracle happen in someone else's life. Watch, listen to this song. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks.
Help me, Father. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm singing for those that have no one else to speak for them. When I think of where you brought me from and where I could have been, crippled, broken, ruined, burdened down with sin, I just lift my hands to thank you for all you've given me and cry, give me a heart, Lord, to win someone for thee. This is your prayer. Give me a heart for others. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see the needs of others. A longing to bring souls to thee. And this is it. It's a privilege, you see. Give me the privilege to be one that tells them. What an amazing gift from God that I can tell them of your love on Calvary's tree. And I think of Dasha and Nadia in those vans in a few hours into the highways and the byways. Keep them safe through the night tonight, Lord Jesus. I'm going to be whatever it is that you want me to be. Give me a heart for others that I might win them for thee. You have the power in your hand right now to heal a heart that's been shattered by a missile or a bomb or a bullet. And this is why I've been brought into his family and I feel his warm embrace. He showed me that he cared for me the day he saved me by his grace. When I see all the many blessings that you have given me. We're the most blessed folk in the world, and yet we complain more than anybody else. I cry, give me a heart, Lord, to win someone for thee. Go to your phone right now and make a difference in someone's life. Give me a heart for others. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see beyond our own walls and world, a longing to bring souls to thee. Incredible privilege to tell that broken woman carrying our kids from Putin's madness of your love on Calvary's tree. And every time a Bible moves, every time a blanket is given away, we're doing it because we're going into the highways and the byways. Nothing closer to the heart of God. And this is the key. This is the prayer. I'm going to be whatever it is you want me to be. I'll deliver blankets. I'll preach the gospel. I'll feed the refugee. Just give me a heart. Please, Lord, give us a heart for others that I might win them for thee. Give me a heart for others that I might win them for thee.
Running out.
Yeah.
Time is running out for Ukraine. And we've got to keep moving while we can move. I'm doing whatever I can do. And this is, I don't have anything else I can do but encourage you to help us.
That's right.
And we've given, and we're just asking. We need many people to still order that.
The tapestry, yeah. The beautiful Lion of Judah tapestry, and which has woven names of God in it. It's absolutely stunning.
I mean, we need that building finished.
Yes, absolutely. To help with and Resurrection Refugee Center.
Right now, in fact, Dasha went up to see that building closest to us is the closest to getting finished. And they're painting it. Here's the frustration with these buildings. They're stone. There's no sheetrock in these buildings. So through the winter time, it goes down to 30 degrees below zero in these buildings. So the cold is in the walls. So if you plaster something and you plaster it again, it'll fall off. So they've got to let it cure, and it takes days for it to cure. And they've done three coats on the walls, and they're waiting to start painting. And Dasha called me just before I came on here, and this is, Dad, they're about to start painting, and we're about to start working down the hill through the other buildings. But it is frustrating, and it is agonizing to find supplies. If Russia was in Branson, keep thinking about that. If they're just a few miles away, it colors everything that's happening at one time.
Could we start moving in one,
yes,
at one,
yes,
end,
yes.
If we finish one
as
end?
As soon
and
as we get
back?
Yes. As soon as we get that building painted, we're putting furniture
because
into it.
Because you may have to move the present area over there in Veltra, looking over at Veltra Village.
We're talking about 100 souls altogether that we'll have to move. Now, you imagine logistics of finding space for 100 kids and workers all at one time, when a whole country will be running all at one time. So we are trying to secure buses and in fact, I said to Jim, all of the beautiful furniture we've put in Veltra Village, I will not leave it to our Russian soldier to tie on the back of his tank to take back to Russia.
That's right. We're
going to get a truck, and we're going to take all the furniture out of all the houses and let them walk into the place, and it'll be empty, and they won't want to stay in a place with no furniture. So, I mean, that's how small our thinking is getting down to as we see these moments approach us. So please pray for us. I'm here to ask for money, but I'm here to ask for your prayers more, because your prayers are sustaining these amazing kids.
Yeah. Somebody that's been thinking about doing the $500, would you do it today? We've got to finish this now.
Yes.
And they're painting there, they're working. It's a miracle we've got this far in the middle of war.
In the middle of war.
We want to send you one of these great tapestries for a gift of $500. And that $500 is helping so much. And we may have to move all of the Vatra Village even into this building, which we could do.
The only problem with that building just now, it is in Moldova. And that will be as risk. It's about 5 miles from Vatra. But let me explain something to you. It's really important to understand this. That building will be used for a refugee center, whether Moldova's in charge of Moldova or whether Russia's
That's
involved.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We are going to have that building
That's right.
both directions.
That's right.
We won't stop preaching the gospel. If Putin comes to Moldova,
right.
we'll preach the gospel
Amen.
Just the same
That's
as we've always done. They will not stop us
no.
from our mission.
That's
yeah. Hell can't stop us, and neither can Putin.
Man.
So please don't misunderstand. The quicker we get that building built and finished, the quicker we can change more people's lives.
Right.
And those gifts of $500 for this incredible tapestry are amazing. But let me say this. I believe today there are people watching that $5,000 and $50,000.
$100,000.
And $100,000 is
I believe someone has a large
today.
Gift that God's been telling them
that.
To do.
Yes, I
it's
do.
Now.
Now.
It's now. And you build up treasures in heaven, the Bible says,
Absolutely.
When you give to those who can't give back.
Absolutely.
And this is so important. But we'll see you tomorrow.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with us, Stella.
We love you, Stella. We're praying. We're praying for
those. I'm trying to bring you encouraging news. So
yeah.
It's not an encouraging world right now, people.
Very sobering time.
But I got good news. The King is coming.
Yes, he is.
He's coming back.
Maranatha.
So be not dismayed. God loves you.
Yes, he does.
He really does. Bye-bye for today.
Yes. Bye-bye. We love you.
Thank you for watching today's program. We need your support now more than ever. Call us today, 1-888-988-1588. You can also write to The Jim Baker Show at P.O. Box 7330, Branson, Missouri 65615. Please make all checks payable to Jim Baker Show. Or you can make your donation and order of other products online at our website, jimbakershow.com. Thank you for your continued prayers and financial support. It's because of partners like you that we can continue to broadcast the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, I'm Tammy Sue Baker. I want to invite you to the Pentecostal Fire Gathering here at Morningside, USA. Join us May 17th through May 19th for 3 days of worship, prayer, and revival like never before. Our special guests will be Tommy and Miriam Evans, Jesse and Parker Green, and Larry Sparks. If you can't join us here at Morningside USA, you can register for the online event for only $30. Registration includes a DVD set of all the worship and teaching sessions. For more information and to register, visit our website at jimbakershow.com. Let's get ready for revival.